नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टेक्स्ट 34, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स। एवम अभ्यास्यतश्चित्तम् काले नाल्प्यसायते अनीशां तस्य निर्वाणम् याति अनिंदन वानिवत्। देशन एंड परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेशियस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Translation: when the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Purport: Nirvana means the cessation of all material desires. Sometimes desirelessness is understood to imply an end to the workings of the mind, but this is not possible. The living entity has senses, and if the senses stopped working, the living entity would no longer be a living entity. He would be exactly like stone or wood. This is not possible. Because he is living, he is nitya and chetana, eternally sentient. For those who are not very advanced, the practice of yoga is recommended in order to stop the mind from being agitated by material desires. But if one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, his mind naturally becomes peaceful very soon. This peace is described in Bhagavad Gita 5.29: Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surida Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richati. If one can understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone, one is established in peace and is free from material agitation. However, for one who cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead, the practice of yoga is recommended. By blessings of devotees, I would like to speak something on this topic. Here in this series of verses, Narad Muni is explaining about yogic process. We find that many time people say yatomat tatopat, that means there are as many variety of paths leading to Godhead. And many times, most of the time, people are attracted by yogic processes. And they claim that this is much more powerful process than what you are doing, bhakti yoga. Because yoga involves some systematic pranayama, meditation, yogasana and so forth. And they feel that we are doing the best of it. And somehow these devotees cannot do this. So that's why they are performing this chanting and dancing and other activities. But that is not the case. Bhakti is the topmost process. Till 11th chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains about different yogas. Bhakti yoga, dhyan yoga, karma yoga, astang yoga. And the 12th chapter, initially Arjun inquires that, my dear Lord, of this which is the best? And Krishna very clearly indicates that bhakti yoga is the topmost. The worshipping the personal form of the Lord is the topmost, rather than going after avyakta or impersonal form of the Lord and going for the yogic processes. And series of verses, Krishna exhibits many disadvantages of following the yogic path. Our hearts are being contaminated, and we need it to be purified by the process of devotional service. many times we find some yogis as very calm, composed, smiling. But whatever they may do, their hearts will be agitated. Because hearts have not got purified. And unless person's heart gets purified, he cannot be satisfied. In Brahma Samhita it is stated, Panthastu koti satvatsara sampragamyo vayor thapi manaso munipungavanam. That means yogi take crores of years to reach, just to have the darshan of the effulgence of the toe of the Lord. And devotees can in one lifetime can attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord and go back to Godhead. Why? Because Bhakti Yoga is very powerful in removing the contamination from the heart. One of the very interesting thing about Bhakti Yoga versus Ashtanga Yoga is that in Bhakti Yoga, means are the ends. And in Ashtanga Yoga, means are different and ends are different. What we do presently, same thing we are supposed to do in spiritual world also. We chant and dance. We render different types of services to the Lord. We dress the Lord, make garlands for the Lord, and perform various services. And in spiritual world also, we find the same description of services. So means are actually ends in bhakti. From beginning only, we are given this opening to the spiritual world. But in yogic process, it is not the case. The process of yoga is material process. Till a person reaches a stage of samadhi, where actually he can see the darshan of Paramatma in the heart, till that time, there is no spirituality involved. But in bhakti, it is not the case. Bhakti, from beginning, the process is spiritual. Another important feature is that bhakti is very fast, elevator. It moves just fast, easily, very fast, quickly, swiftly, we can go back to Godhead. But not in yogic process. As I mentioned, it takes crores of years just to have glimpse of the darshan of the Lord. For example, suppose there may be, 60-story building is there. And a person need to give interview on the 60th floor. And one person opts to use the staircase. And another person opts to use the elevator. And these days some of the elevators are so fast, within a minute time they are on the 60th floor. Bhakti yogis are like that. They use the elevator. And swiftly they reach on the 60th floor. And other processes of yoga are like climbing the staircase. So much hard work. That's why Krishna says in 12th chapter, Kleshod Dikarastasyam. That means it is klesh, full of pains. Miserable, it is misery to do so much asanas, tapasya, and restraining senses very strictly. So much misery is there. Bhakti, we don't restrain senses so much. Rather, we use the senses in Krishna's service. And it is blissful experience. So the person uses staircase, first of all, he is in so much stress, body is paining. But the devotee very coolly just enter the elevator and he reaches the topmost floor. Soon, very soon. Secondly is that if somebody opts to use staircase, he goes alone only. That's why you find yogis are not in group generally. They are doing tapasya alone in some places, some secluded place. And it's suggested in Bhagavad Gita also that they should find some secluded place and do tapasya alone. But we find that in elevator, we find other people are also there. So even in elevator, it is joyful. We can have exchange, we can have talk. So similarly, in devotional service, we are not alone. We find so many devotees. So that is one more additional advantage. Is there topmost advantage that we are having association of devotees, which pushes us to the topmost floor of going back to Godhead. And also sometimes it happens, we see some incidences when somebody wants to go for interview and he enters the lift. And sometimes the person who is taking interview himself also enters the same lift. And the person who is interviewed and interviewer both are in the same lift, and sometimes there are exchanges. One person asks, why you are coming? They say, I am coming to give interview. I am a little bit afraid because I don't know, I need this job. After so many months, I am trying for this job and I desperately need this job. And other person passive says, don't worry. And the person who will be giving interview doesn't know that person next to him is taking the interview. And it's a very informal talk. And when he reaches on the 60th floor and the person who is going to give interview enters the room, and he finds the same person in the lift is sitting in the chair, and he welcomes him with a broad smile because he has spoken in an informal way, and then ultimately passes in an interview. Similarly, in Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is always there with a devotee. The Prabhupada quotes here the verse, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloko Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Surida Sarvabhutanam. That means Krishna is friend of all living entity. And he helps devotees at every stage of life. Whatever happens in devotee's life is being ordained by the Lord. And Krishna is a helpful friend all the times. So the person who is helping us in this lift also is Krishna. And the person who will be meeting us on the 60th floor is also Krishna. And of course his devotee is also there. But in yogic process it is not the case. Because the person who will be taking interview will not go by climbing the staircase. In yogic process a person has to climb the staircase alone. Such a tough task. Misery. All the times misery. And when he reaches the 60th floor, he has to first introduce himself to the interviewer. But Bhakti Yogi is quite comfortable in giving interview also, because he already established relationship with the Lord. And he knows that Krishna is Surida. He is the best friend of all living entities. And he doesn't have to worry. He has to just struggle to serve. And Bhakti Yoga is, on the contrary, it is a very joyful, anandam, joyful process to perform. And that's why we find that all types of people can practice this process. There are so many tastes on the path of Ashtanga Yoga. So many tastes are there. Many times people are offered siddhis. And devotees are not attracted by siddhis. In Chaitanya Leela, Sridhar Kolvech was brought in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mahaprakash Leela. And one of the items Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered to Sridhar, that, my dear Sridhar, if you want eightfold siddhis, I can give you that also. And siddhis are very powerful, attractive. In one of the siddhis, a person can create a planet with full opulence, as good as heavenly planet, and stay on that. He is the proprietor of that planet. And stay for many, many long, huge duration of time. Such a tempting offer. And Sridhar says, I don't want that, my Lord. He immediately gives up the idea, doesn't even think of it. But yogis, because they are dry in heart, because devotees are satisfied, they can kick all this. But since yogi are dry in their heart, many times they are tempted by the siddhis and get trapped of it. For example, I was just reading Maharaj's book, Journey Home. So an incident regarding that was quoted. One of the places in Himalayas Maharaj visited, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj visited, and he found a strange thing. One person, he was a yogi, and was asking bhiksha, charity, from tourists. And tourists were denying, no, we don't want to give charity. Why we should give charity? And this yogi, he was a yogi, powerful yogi. So what he did is that he took a bulb, live bulb, and just crumbled that bulb in the hand. And it was into pieces, small, small pieces. And he ate it and nothing happened to him. All tourists were surprised. Another thing is that there was some construction rod was lying here there. And he took the rod and poked inside his eyes. And just with the pressure of the eyes, he just banned the whole road. So much. He had got many siddhis. So why he was wanting money from this tourist? What has happened is that his guru, his spiritual master, detected that I am teaching this yoga to this person, but somehow still this person is attracted by mystic siddhis and that is not correct. So he rejected, I don't want you. And since he rejected, and this yogi wanted to enter into grihastha ashram, and from childhood he was practicing yoga, so he has not learnt anything to earn. So only thing he has learnt is yoga. So on the basis of yoga, he was asking charity from people, give me money so that I can at least get married. But that is not the purpose of learning yoga. Purpose of yoga is to please Supreme Godhead, Krishna, and go back to spiritual world. But you find that so many yogis get tempted by the offer given by material energy. Siddhis are not spiritual, they are material. And all the yogis claim that they have transcended it, but still they have not transcended it. A person's heart has to get purified, and only by the power of devotional service, somebody's heart gets purified. For example, suppose in a kamandalu, a dirty water is there, and you take a piece of alum and just put alum, circulate it on the surface of the water, and we know the property of alum is that dust particle goes down and you find that water is very crystal clear. Yogi's heart is like that. On the top of it may appear that they are very cool, composed, calm, unagitated, but in their heart pollution is still there. You just put a piece of stone again in that kamandalu, and again that mud from the bottom will come on the surface, and again the water is muddy. Similarly, as soon as a yogi contacts a sense object, again that impurity comes on the surface of the heart, and again they are involved in the same activities. But devotional service is contrary. Devotional service purifies the heart completely. There is no trace of dirt when a person is fully purified by the power of devotional service. We have got senses. Yogis claim that we should not be engaging senses. But devotees engage the senses in transcendental way. Prabhupada explains in first canto, senses needs natural engagement. And when we engage senses, naturally, we are peaceful in heart, in Krishna's service. On the contrary, somebody thinks I will not engage the senses, then I will be calm. It doesn't work. For example, in the field, in farming, they use bulls. And somebody may, out of false compassion, may think, why bulls should work so hard? They should not be working so hard. Compassion towards animals. But the nature of bull is that if they don't work hard, they are very disturbed in mind. Even if you try to go near them, love them, they'll be agitated. They'll come near to charge. But if they work whole day on the field, in the evening you go to caress them, they are completely tired. And their mind is also so peaceful. They don't mind anything. You just caress them. Then they are happily, they accept it. Why? Because whole their energy is used completely. Similarly, bhakti yoga are like this only. We use our whole energy in Krishna's service. And in that process, mind is peaceful, calm, composed. But if we don't use it, somebody says, I'll not be using it, my senses in Krishna's service. Then although senses may not be used, senses may appear as calm and composed, but mind will be very agitated. One time, Radha Gopinath Prabhu made an analogy that we find sometimes ducks very gracefully swimming on the surface of the water, and yogis appear like this, ducks very gracefully gliding on the surface of the water, but in the bottom, underneath the water, their feet are moving so fast. Similarly, such yogis, although they are silent, but in their heart, so many desires are going on. I want this, I want this, I want this. And devotee may be ulta duck. They may appear on the top of it. They are working very hard. But the bottom, they are peaceful. Shanti, shanti. In their hearts, completely peaceful. Why? Because they know the supreme knowledge. Supreme knowledge, Krishna is bhokta. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Krishna is enjoyer. Sarvaloka maheshwaram. Such a powerful, great personality, Sri Krishna is that is complete proprietor, complete enjoyer, and complete controller. Such a big person who can be unparalleled. And in spite of that, he is the best friend at all times. Such a great blessings. Such a great person is offering his hand that please make friendship with me. And fortunate souls accept the hand of Krishna and make friendship with him. Surida Sarva Bhutanam. They take the hand of Krishna and go back eternally to the kingdom of back to Godhead, where there is no birth, no death is there. Only devotees are serving the Lord. And there's a topmost benediction is there. Devotees know that Krishna is the supreme person, and due to that reason, they doesn't claim as enjoyer, proprietor or controller. When one's heart gets polluted, when he thinks that I am enjoyer or proprietor or controller, due to that reason, he wants to dominate. But devotee know that actually I am none of this. So they are humble and peaceful, fully satisfied in rendering devotional service of the Lord. In first canto, Prabhupada quotes a prayer of Rupa Goswami. And the prayer is like this. Rupa Goswami mentions a prayer that, my dear Lord, I don't have any desire to serve you. I am not so much deep desire to serve you. But I know for sure that you are all powerful. And although I don't have any desire to serve you, still, in spite of that, you can engage me in your service. And further, Rupa Goswami mentions that devotees are just satisfied on meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. What does it mean? It means just satisfied in rendering service. Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that devotees even doesn't want to see the face of the Lord. They are just satisfied, fully satisfied in heart, just serving the Lord. And that's the topmost satisfaction. One time, one disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta came to Jagannath Puri, or say he was taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, and for a long time was just standing in front of the deity and seeing the Lord's form. And very surprisingly, Bhakti Siddhanta chastised him that, have your eye exercise been over? Because unless there is devotion, we will not have attraction. We may sometimes stand just to impress other people. I've got so much devotion. But devotion can be awakened by service. Rendering service to the Lord, then devotion is awakened. And then Krishna is also happy with us, happy to reciprocate. To the degree our hearts are purified, to that degree Krishna will open the curtain. And we can see the form of the Lord or realize actually the absolute truth. But very sadly, so many people get attracted by this yogic process, and in Kali Yuga, these yogic processes doesn't work at all. It may give some satisfaction to the mind that actually I am doing something, but actually it doesn't work. Here Prabhupada says that one should have nirvana, cessation of material desires, but it doesn't happen. In some of the yogic institutions, they got different ways to remove all the thoughts from the mind. For example, one of the such yogic institution, they suggest that you just keep on writing it. Take a notebook and pen and go on writing whatever comes in your mind, whether it is good or bad. Just don't be attached to the thought. And somebody may think that how much a person can write. But people write a couple of notebooks in one sitting, just go on writing. And what happens in the process is that whatever thoughts on the surface of the mind, they get exhausted. Person feels peaceful. And they see how peaceful you feel after this process. They teach meditation. And what is the meditation? You just watch the thought, empty the mind with the thoughts. And when a person does for some time, naturally he feels little peaceful. So in this process, they want to make mind peaceful. But only temporarily the mind remains peaceful. As soon as sense objects comes in front, they are again back to square A. They are again doing the same activities. Only bhakti process can eradicate all anarthas from the heart, because Krishna has got power. Somebody may do meditation in Bhagavad Gita or in Vedas. There is no mention of meditation without remembrance of the Lord. And today, none of the yogis claim it. Practically none of the yogis claim it. Many times yogis claim that you are following the same path, we are also following the same path. Then why you are challenging us? But that is not the true. If that is true, then there are yogis still in Bombay who have practiced yoga for many hours a day for 40-50 years. Why don't they speak about Krishna? Because if they practice yoga for 40-50 years and many hours a day, naturally that heart should be purified. And naturally they should be seeing Paramatma in the heart. Then why don't they speak about Paramatma in the heart or about Krishna or devotional service? But this process cannot make one's heart purified. Devotees also should not get too much entangled into yoga. Too much entangled in yoga can distract a person from devotional service also. Because once faith is shared, somebody who got staunch faith in bhakti, if he tries to acquire lot of knowledge of yoga, his faith will be shared. His dependence on Krishna will be shared. And sometimes if too much into yoga, a person can be shaken also. I've seen devotees who take shelter, have so much faith in yoga, yogic process, and they feel that this is important. In yoga, there is mention in Bhagavad Gita of the chakra. So one of the devotees mentioning that when you do japa, we should purify all the chakra. It's like if you put on shirt, and when shirt is put on, we can't see the body. So when you open the buttons, we can see the body. So opening or purifying the chakra, that means we can see the spiritual body. And then our chanting also works. So that means they don't have faith in the process. They don't have faith in Krishna. They've got faith in other processes. But that is not the case. Their faith in Krishna is shared. Krishna consciousness is very powerful. I know one institution in Bombay. They teach yoga. And they teach different types of pranayama, asana, meditation. And in the end, what they do is that they tell their sadhakas, now please get up and we'll teach you one more process. They play a walkman. And on the walkman, the name of Krishna and Govinda have been chanted. And they tell the sadhakas that close your eyes and start dancing. And they say, don't feel shy. You may be dancing for the first time, so don't feel shy. Just dance. This is a very important process, and people dance. And they claim at the end of the course is that whatever you're taught, but this is the important process for yogic activity. So even chanting of the holy name is also, many yogis recognize it. because it helps their yogic process also. But very sadly, such institution, they boldly claim that we accept what is favorable, but we know for sure that Krishna is not there. Krishna has come and he has gone, so why to worship him? Then why you are accepting something like this in part? If you want to reject Krishna, reject completely. Why you are accepting in part? And if you accept, accept in toto. So these people, they take the half only, but they don't have faith in the process. Devotees have got faith in the process. Simply just by pranayama, asana, one cannot attain Krishna. It's like, say, we have got lungs. In pranayama, people blow air inside their lungs. Suppose somebody drives a two-wheeler or a four-wheeler and he goes on the petrol pump or filling the air inside the tires. So similarly, in the lungs we are filling up air, and just by inhaling and exhaling, how we think that Krishna can be attained? He cannot be attained by just inhaling and exhaling of air. And how can yogis can attain Krishna? Just by that. Even for yogis, they have to remember, meditate on the Paramatma in the heart. It takes so long process. But devotees are very fortunate to have shelter of Krishna. Topmost fortunate being is devotee, because they have no essence. That's why personality like Srila Prabhupada want to, eager to give Krishna in all situations. We find in Bhagavad Gita, such descriptions are there, that yogis has to go in the jungle, they have to meditate on the tip of the nose, half opened eyes, controlling the senses fully. And all these descriptions are there, but we find many times Srila Prabhupada dovetailing the same purport, and the same purport Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about Bhakti Yoga. Not touching the translation, Prabhupada is directly speaking on Bhakti Yoga. Very contrasting thing. Generally, a person who is giving purport on the translation should be elaborating on the translation. But Prabhupada, in many of the translation, doesn't elaborate on the translation. He just gives a conclusion that Bhakti Yoga is topmost. Why? Because he knows that if I elaborate on this, people will just run for this yogic exercise. Even in devotees, they will learn for this yogic exercise. Prabhupada, no. So due to that reason, Prabhupada dovetailed everything connected, giving directly Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada I was reading one of the purport of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very surprisingly mentioning about a point. Prabhupada was mentioning that devotees come together and they chant and dance together. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that even chanting and dancing in enthusiasm or ecstasy is also pranayama. So devotees may be doing it, they may not be knowing it. Many times devotees may be taking out separate time. I want to maintain my health. But even somebody may be chanting and dancing in kirtan enthusiastically is also pranayama. Prabhupada personally mentions it. So devotional service, Krishna has arranged it. Our acharya has given it in such a perfect way. They want to give us least distraction so that we are not be deviated. I've seen many devotees who get distracted, especially those who are too much into yoga, who have got too much into yogic background. For them to accept this bhakti yoga process is very difficult. Very difficult, because they have got this contamination from, say, previous years, too much into yoga. As we know that too much knowledge is bewildering, a person doesn't take to devotional service. Similarly, a person has got too much yogic background, for him also to take to devotional service is very difficult. Why? Because he thinks that I know better. I know better than what these people are doing. These people are like chanting, just like sahajya, just chanting and dancing. This is such a light process. I am doing something of substance. And people who are in knowledge, or say too much acquired knowledge or too much into yoga, they feel we are proud of their learning. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Kashi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process was just chant and dance. Wherever he is to go, he is to just chant and dance in ecstasy, remembering Krishna. And when he met Prakashanand Saraswati and his disciples, thousands of sannyasi disciples, and Prakashanand Saraswati asked a question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that why you act like a bhavuk person, sentimental person? You should be man of substance. You should be reading scriptures. You should be knowledge. And many times people put forth such argument that you should be knowledge. Be like a man. Be like a, say, man of substance. Learn something. Do yoga. Do tapasya. But least Prakashanand Saraswati knew that he was Krishna himself teaching the topmost process of the spiritual world. Chanting and dancing is the topmost process of the spiritual world. We find in this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. And as Devamrit Prabhu on last Sunday was mentioning, that Jagannath is Krishna exhibiting his topmost ecstasy. And in front of him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. He is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani exhibiting the extreme ecstasies. So two topmost personality of the spiritual world, Krishna and Radharani, are exhibiting their topmost spiritual emotions in this event of Rath Yatra. And devotees are given the same offer to chant and dance in the Kirtan. And just by this simple process, one can attain Krishna by this method of Sankirtan process, rather than getting involved in too much into this process of yoga. Krishna doesn't like too much dependence on this process, too much involvement into this process. One time, there was a devotee in Navdweep named Murari Gupta. And he was learning some of the things from Yoga Vasistha. And Nimai was a small child. Small, young, beautiful, tender child, Nimai was. And Nimai understood as a Paramatma in the heart that he is mixing bhakti with yoga. And Lord doesn't tolerate any, contamination in the heart of his devotees. And one time, when Murari Gupta was honoring rice, in Bengal they eat a lot of rice, and his wife served rice in the meal. And Murari Gupta was eating his meal, honoring the rice. And Nimai Pandit, this is a very astonishing thing. Very astonishing, very shocking thing. And that was, he came as a, he was a small child. As a small child, he came in from behind Murari Gupta. And he did something which is very transcendental, most transcendental. He passed urine in the plate of Murari Gupta. Can you imagine Supreme Lord passing urine in the plate of Murari Gupta? And Murari Gupta was shocked at how it is so that I am eating rice and my prasad has been spoiled. This is offered to Krishna, and what this naughty child is up to. And he was very disturbed. And Nimai Pandit just smiled and ran away. And Murari Gupta was very disturbed at what this child is up to. Why is doing like this? I was nicely eating rice, honoring prasad. And why he did that? And later, Nimai Pandit revealed him that your mixing yoga is like mixing rice with urine. Mixing with prasad, urine. So similarly, devotee is getting too much entangled into yoga. Is same. We can't eat. Suppose somebody gives a nice feast, but in that feast, suppose something, some substance like this is poured, sprinkled. Who would like to honor that? Nobody would like to honor that. Similarly, devotees should be exclusively, unalloyed way, they should be serving Krishna's lotus feet to have the topmost benediction of the spiritual world. Complete faith in Krishna. that Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer. I am just a subservient. I am just a small devotee trying to serve Krishna. He knows for sure that whatever condition I am, Krishna is offering me his hand. Please come back. Don't suffer in this material world. And that is a quick process Krishna is offering. Just come. Come to me and I'll take care of everything. Sarva dharma parityaja mamekam sharanam vracham. And intelligent devotees take to this wonderful process of chanting of the holy names. Name Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva, Jiva Daya, that principles given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and devotees perfect their lives. Thank you very much for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. I'll end over here because it's already time up. Hare Krishna. Granthra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrind ki Jai.